Good morning and welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker this morning is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following this message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O. Now here is Pastor John proclaiming the Strength for Today.
Thanks for tuning in to our Strength for Today Bible broadcast. Our topic this morning is going to be how to be a one-woman man. If you're a dad, you know that Father's Day is coming up this June the 16th. And I have a special message to all of you dads. You know, every boy, every girl, every wife deserves to have a spiritual dad. A dad that loves the Lord. A dad that'll stand up and be an example of the believer. Oh, how we need, as spiritual leaders, as dads, to model the truth of God's Word. There's a real blight today. There's a scarcity, a famine of male spiritual leadership in our churches and in our land today. I often think of 1 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible talks about spiritual leadership, specifically the bishops or pastors, elders. I believe all of those terms to be synonymous. They are to be husband of one wife. That's the Greek translation, one woman man. And we're going to be looking at, this morning, the five characteristics of a one woman man. How you can be, Dad, a one woman man. You know, there's the old Marine motto that we often have contact with. Not long ago, I was driving down I-4 in Orange County, and I saw a Ford Bronco 4x4 pull ahead of me. And on the back bumper, there was the bumper sticker, Semper Fidelis, always faithful. That's the motto of the Marines. How much more should it be the motto of men who need to always be faithful to their wives, to their families, to their children. Think of the phrase, we're looking for a few good men. Oftentimes that's attached to the Marines, isn't it? There was a mother that had attended a wedding with her two small children. The two children were misbehaving during the wedding ceremony, so their mother thought it would be a good idea to explain some of the ceremonies behind what was going on to perhaps catch their interest. One of the little boys' names was Rollo. And Rollo was misbehaving, and it was just arriving at the point of the marriage ceremony where they light the unity candle. And most of you as listeners have seen that many, many times, where the two candles, one held by the bride, one held by the groom, then are lifted up, they light the unity candle, and then they both blow their own candles out. Well, mother, trying to get little Rollo's attention, said, Rollo, do you know what they're doing right now? Do you know what that means? Now that they've blown out their candles and they've lit that one in the middle, little Rollo said, I know what that means, Mom. That means no more old flames. You know, there was a lot of wisdom in the life of that little boy there, Rollo, when he made the comment, no more old flames. You know, our country is racked with a rash of immorality among men and women in the homes today of America. Homes are being divided and broken today at unprecedented rates, even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God challenge us to be faithful to our spouses. Let's put away the old flames and let's be faithful in unity with the one that God has given to us. What's the first of five characteristics of a one-woman man? Well, number one, a one-woman man, if you're going to be a one-woman dad, a one-woman man, you need to be, number one, committed with your eyes. In the book of Job, chapter 31 and verse 1, Job made the statement, "I made a covenant with my eyes." What then? How should I think upon a maid? Job was saying, I'm going to be faithful with my eyes. I'm going to be faithful with what I think with when I look at a woman. I've made a covenant. That speaks of a predetermined, purposeful decision to remain pure with his eyes. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 27, in the Sermon on the Mount given by our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible reminds us in verse 27 when it declares that we need to be faithful with our eyes. The Word of God says, "You have heard, it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart." You see, our Lord is indicating that the thought and that which is behind the deed begins in the mind. How we need to be careful. A one-woman man is committed with his eyes. The Word of God says, "If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and that not thy whole body be cast into hell." The Lord is using hyperbolic term here. He's using the obvious exaggeration of depicting a person literally decapitating the most precious part of their body. The Lord is saying here that if the most dearest thing in our eyes should be that which would drive us from the Lord or even cause us to not come to Him in salvation, it would be better that we put away that from us than we should be drawn away from the Lord. Psalm 101 in verse 3 is a verse that I have typed out on the monitor in my computer in my home. David said, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. I will not cleave unto them." So, in order to be a one-woman man, be careful, listener, what goes into the eye gate. A one-woman man is to be committed with his eyes. Secondly, if we're going to be a one-woman man, and this begins early in life, doesn't it? No one listening to my voice is exempt, no matter how young. A one-woman man is not only committed with his eyes, but a one-woman man is committed with his mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, the Word of God says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Casting down imaginations. Where do they begin? In the mind. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Someone once said, "If you sow a thought, you'll reap an act. If you sow an act, you'll reap a habit. Sow a habit, you'll reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny." It all begins with what goes into the eye gate, then going into the mind. Psychologists warn us about the danger of pornography. how many times individuals will allow their eyes to fall upon that which is illicit, that which is evil, that which is an abomination unto the eyes and mind of God. And the Word of God says we are to yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. All the warning that is there in Romans chapter 6. And our members refer to every single part of our bodies. Oh, how we need to remember the children's song, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. For the Father up above is looking down below. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. A one-woman man is to be committed with his eyes, but a one-woman man is also to be committed with his mind. You cannot prevent thoughts from coming into your mind, but you can keep them from being dwelt upon and from giving in and acting upon them. Martin Luther made the statement, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, speaking of the battle for the mind and how we need to grow as believers in Christ, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's a renewing. It's an upward remaking, because it's the work of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And then we'll be able to find that which is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. How are you doing this day before Father's Day, Dad? Are you a one-woman man? A one-woman man is committed with his eyes. Semper Fidelis. A one-woman man is committed with his mind. But the third characteristic of a one-woman man is that a one-woman man is faithful with his lips. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4, the Word of God exhorts us that neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting ought to be part of our conversation, but rather the giving of thanks. Filthiness speaks of obscenities. It is amazing, as I talk to many wives today, how many men professing to know Christ as personal Savior, their mouth is filled with obscenities at home and at work. There are many, many professing Christians today that claim to know Jesus Christ as Savior, but like Peter, warming themselves by the fire, began to curse, and by their lips and by their words, they deny that they know Him. The Word of God says, filthiness ought not to be part of our conversation. Then it talks about foolish jesting in Ephesians 5 and verse 4. There are two Greek words composing that, foolish jesting. It's the word moralogia, which means moronic words. Words that are foolish talk. Words that don't edify or build up. And then the word jesting speaks of dirty jokes and sexual innuendos that so often are part of many professing Christians' lives. Oh, we ought to expect this coming from people who do not name the name of Christ. But as James said, out of the same fountain ought not to flow bitter and sweet waters. Be careful. A one-woman man is faithful with his lips. You look at the man who comes home and has nothing positive to say to his wife, only that which is negative. If he acted that way at work, he wouldn't have his job very long. And it's interesting how many men will take a lot of guff and a lot of distraction and difficulty at work from their personnel But then they'll come home and they'll misuse and mistreat those that are closest to their hearts. Oh, a one-woman man is to be faithful and committed with his eyes, with his mind, and with his lips. In Ephesians 4:29, Paul said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." The word corrupt was used to describe rotten fish. When I was selling books in Oklahoma with the Southwestern Book Company, I was selling the Layman's Bible Commentary as a freshman, working my way through college. And I noticed that there was a long stretch of country road along some of the ranches that were there. And it's interesting, as I started walking down this farmland along the country road, I saw several coyotes hanging from a fence by their carcasses. Those carcasses had been there, and they were rotting away. And the owner of the ranch, I learned later, had put those there to warn what would happen to other coyotes if they began ravaging the flock. And it's interesting how that horrible, putrefying smell is the same type of Greek word that the Apostle Paul should use, that when we criticize and when we speak evil of and when we put down one another, whether it be our wives or our children, and we attack the person instead of the problem that may be there, we're actually giving out words that before God and before men are just as putrefying as those old coyotes. And I had to walk a half a mile past all of that in order to get to the place of my destination. And I assure you, it wasn't pleasant to do so. A one-woman man is to be faithful with his lips. In Psalm 19 and verse 14, David gives a closing comment on a wonderful psalm when he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Here David is summing up points 1 and 2. He says, "Let the words of my mouth and the words of my speech and the thoughts of my mind, Lord, may it be acceptable in thy sight." How would we feel if someone took a video of our words and our actions and our thoughts and played them before the Sunday morning congregation on any given Sunday? Certainly, we can then glean how God would look upon our actions. And the psalmist said, "Lord, I want the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth to be pleasing and acceptable unto you." Number 4, if we're going to be a one-woman man, and God's going to be able to use us in the service of His kingdom, leadership in the church, leadership in our homes, leadership among God's people, which I believe that all men ought to aspire to that know Christ, a one-woman man is to be faithful with his hands. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 34, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Ephesian elders, describes the fact that he was a diligent man who was willing to work with his hands. He says, "You yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." We as men need to be providers. We need to show our children what it means to be faithful at work. We ought to be men who are working and seeking to be employed, because idle hands are the devil's workshop. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "If any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Now, I'm not talking about a man who may be disabled, who is unable to legitimately work. But the Word of God tells us in many cases of instances where there were believers in the early church who would not work. And Paul says, neither then should they eat. There are many, many warnings about the man who is idle with his hands. And too often today, there are many men that are willing to depend upon welfare and social services and all of these things when they are perfectly able to be working with their own hands. Keep in mind that there are exceptions that are legitimate, that God has blessed us with in our nation. But we as men ought to be committed with our eyes, with our mind, with our lips, and with our hands. The final and the fifth way that we can be a one-woman man is that a one-woman man is faithful with his feet. He's faithful where he goes. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, the Word of God says we are to flee fornication. We are to flee, Peter tells us, youthful lusts that war against the soul. Oh, the imagery takes me back to the book of Genesis, to the life of Joseph, as he fled from Potiphar's wife, who was seeking to embroil him in an adulterous relationship. And oh, Joseph was a faithful man who would not sin against his employer, and most of all, against his God. Psalm 1, that great psalm that begins and acts as a doorkeeper to the rest of the psalm, says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You see, his feet don't go there. His feet don't seek the counsel or the advice of the ungodly, nor do they stand in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. The marine motto, Semper Fidelis, applies to his eyes, to his mind, to his lips, to his hands, and to his feet. Proverbs chapter 7 applies and brings it all together for us as it describes the way of the simple man. In Proverbs chapter 7, the Word of God says in verse 7, Solomon speaking, he says, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a man that was void of understanding. He passes through the streets of the corner of the strange woman. He goes to the way of her house. In the twilight of the evening, in the black and dark night, behold, there meets him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. And now she's outside in the streets, lying at wait in every corner. She catches him and kisses him, and with an impudent face says unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I've paid my vows. Here we have a case of a woman who has a tinge of religiosity to her. And she says, I've come forward to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I've found you. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, carved works, and fine linen of Egypt. She presents herself as a sanitary woman, a clean woman. She says, I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning, until we solace ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. But then comes the warning. As he yields to her, he goes as an ox to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, until a dart strikes through his liver and he is destroyed. And the Word of God says, many strong men have been slain by her. Oh, we need to be aware of the fact that many religious leaders, many pastors, many elders, many deacons, many homes have been destroyed because of the lack of one-woman men who have made commitments with their eyes, with their mind, with their lips, their hands, and their feet. And it begins, young person, early in your life. I want to share with you a warning towards any who may be seeking or tempted to be involved in sexual temptation. It's what I call the other side of immorality. There are 12 consequences to falling into sexual temptation. Number one, the loss of character. Number two, the loss of your self-respect. Number three, the loss of other people's respect. Four, the loss of your family. Oh, how I've seen many homes blown apart because of immorality. Five, the loss of your testimony. Six, the loss of your joy and peace. Seven, injury to your career. Eight, the smearing of the Lord's name. Number nine, embarrassment to your church. Number 10, the draining of your finances through bribery and cover-ups. Number 11, the possibility of sexually transmitted diseases even being contacted by your wife. Number 12, you're living a life of deceitfulness and secrecy, and be sure your sins will find you out. Then I want to share with you 10 reasons to stop having an affair. If some of you have become involved in an illicit relationship, 10 reasons why you should stop. Number one, your mate will be wounded. Number two, your integrity will be destroyed. Number three, your peace will be forfeited. Number four, your morality will be compromised. Number five, your health will be jeopardized. Six, your conscience will be scarred. Number seven, your children will lose their hero. Number eight, your future will be affected. Number nine, the Bible forbids you to be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. Number 10, your God condemns it, and He entreats you to be holy even as He is holy. And He is a God who will judge sin. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap." I'm calling the men of America to repentance and to faithfulness to God. If you're a dad here, if you're a husband listening to my voice and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, being a one-woman man begins by coming to Christ and receiving Him as your personal Savior. Come just as you are, with all of your sins, with all of your uncleanness, lay it before the foot of the cross and confess those sins as condemning your soul to hell. Call upon Jesus Christ, who alone can save you by His precious blood. Ask Him to save you. He gives the promise, "He that cometh unto me, I'll never cast out." There may be some listening to me that have already made that decision to become a born-again Christian and receive Christ as personal Savior, but you've wandered away from the path of obedience. You're not following under the shadow of the Almighty. I'd challenge you to confess that sin. Confess the sin of the violation of your eyes, of your mind, of your lips, your hands, and your feet being misused, and yield your members right now as instruments of righteousness. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to purchase and ransom your soul from an eternal damnation, He now says, "Present your body unto me a living sacrifice." Heavenly Father, I pray for the needs of those that have heard this Strength for Today Bible broadcast. May they contact us for helpful materials and information on how they can be a one-woman man for their wives and for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Civic Club, located in Winter Park, just three traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O, or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaaf inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.